We need to ask ourselves the question, if we knew with certainty that Jesus were to come tomorrow, if we knew tomorrow that the rapture was going to happen, what would we do to be prepared? To make sure that we're doing everything that God desires of us. What would you do if you knew that Jesus was looking over your shoulder, watching our deeds? You can rest assured that He is, because He said to most of the churches in Revelation 2 and 3, He said, I know your deeds. To one church He said, you're neither cold nor hot. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about ready to spit you out of my mouth. Are you doing everything that you can? Are you doing everything that Jesus has asked you to do? Are you doing everything that you can to be prepared for what's next? Are you doing everything that in your heart you know that you should do? Because if you're not, then in God's eyes it's called complacency, and He despises laziness and complacency. And what we can do is ask Him to forgive us and make today a new day. We can make today a new day and start again and put our best foot forward and put in our wholehearted effort. He said, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. He said, it's the Lord Christ you're serving. We're supposed to work not as unto men, but as unto the Lord, He says. In our jobs. If you're a husband, you should strive to be the best husband that you can be. If you're a wife, you should strive to be the best wife that you can be. If you're a father or mother, you should be striving to do everything you can to be the best father or mother you can be by raising your children every minute of every day and then instructing them in the ways of the Bible, in the ways of the Lord. If you're a grandmother or a grandpa, same rules apply. Are you influencing your children to live for God by showing them the love of God and telling them what the Bible says? Are you turning your children away from God? But not living the gospel yourself? Or equally as bad, not putting your whole heart into it? We want to do our best. Amen. Lord, I pray that You'd move upon the hearts of the people right now and reveal to them if there's anything in their hearts, there's anything that they're doing they should not be doing. If there's anything that they're not doing that they should be doing, I pray that You'd make it so clear and so obvious to them, Father, that by the time they leave this service, they know they have to change. I pray the convicting power of the Holy Ghost would come upon everybody in the room and everyone listening online. Father, You told us if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. So Father, we just take this opportunity in Your presence right now to recommit ourselves to You, to rededicate our lives to You, and to draw near to You in Your presence. want everybody to pray this prayer. I want everyone to say, God, help me to not deceive myself by making excuses of why I'm not doing everything that I should. Help me to instead seek you with my whole heart, with every fiber of my being. Help me to strive and make every effort to enter into your rest by obeying your word. Help me to focus on things above, not on temporal things that will all burn up, but on eternal things that will last forever. In Jesus' name. If you have a Bible with you, I want you to open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, he says these words. He says, "And we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak." So what we believe is what we're speaking. If you're not speaking, according to this scripture, you're not believing. But if you are truly believing God, then you would be speaking. What should I be speaking, Pastor Dan? We'll talk a little bit about that. But if we're not speaking, we're not believing, because it says right there, we believe and therefore speak. Why? Because we have the spirit of faith. If we have faith, you're going to speak words. Jesus, if you want to turn on over to Mark 11, 23 and 24, we'll take a look at this. We're going to talk a little bit about faith briefly. And then we'll talk a little bit about what God talked to me about in prayer. Mark 11, 22, Jesus said, "Have faith in God." First of all, when it comes to faith, you don't want to have faith in yourself. You want to have faith in God. Because as long as you're wondering if you can do it, and you're focusing on yourself, then your eyes are on the wrong person. Our eyes want to be on God, amen? We've got to keep our eyes on God. Then Jesus said these words in verse 23. He says, "I tell you the truth." Carlton, I want you to close the door. You're in charge of the door. We're going to keep the door closed. If anybody wants to come in after, they can come in. There's not going to be no in and out anymore. You get kicked out. You get expelled from high school if you kept it up long enough. We're not going to have it up in here. It's distracting to everybody. We're going to just keep our eyes on the Lord. Amen. They want to come in, they can come in, but they're going to stay in. They can go to the bathroom before service or after. You're not going to be, there'll be no more in and out in this church. You did that, listen to me. I used to be a Catholic boy. If you did that in the Catholic church, they would politely ask you to leave. And if you came back a second or third time and you kept doing the same thing, they'd politely ask you to never come back. Why? Because they at least reverence God. This is not our house, this is God's house. Amen? Amen. It's very distracting, not only to the preacher, you're interrupting the Holy Spirit, and you're interrupting all of your brothers and sisters in Christ when we go in and out, okay? You just stay right here. If you got to go to the bathroom now, go. But you're in charge of the... You are a greeter tonight. Personal greeter. You're going to greet them out or you're going to greet them in one time. That's it. Okay, can we teach now? That's the announcements for the day. Then Jesus said in verse 23, He said this, I tell you the truth, if anyone... Everyone say anyone.
Anyone.
Are you an anyone?
Yes.
Is that say if the preacher... Is that what it says? It says anyone. So everyone in this room is an anyone. Right? So we've got that established. And Jesus said, if I tell you the truth, if anyone says, underline the word says, I'm going to quote this from the King James Version, which is the way this should have been worded. It was accurate in the King James. He said, if anyone says, underline it, says, to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes. What he says, underline it, says, will come to pass. He will have whatever he says. Underline it again. So two times Jesus talked about believing, and three times he talked about saying. That's the faith of God. The spirit of faith, 2 Corinthians 4:13 that we went over says, and we have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Now put that scripture, what Jesus just said, and that's Jesus was preaching that right there at you. He says, look, if anyone says this mountain, now when Jesus said this, they knew all about mountains. They slept on the mountain. It's most likely they were either standing on it, or he said, look, if anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself in the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. So he talked more about saying it than he did just believing it. Because if we believe it, we will say it. Okay? And then in the next verse 24, he says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and you will have it. Let's analyze this. 23, he says, I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, pay very close attention, go throw yourself into the sea and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes what he says, will come to pass. Will come to pass. It means it hasn't quite come to pass yet, did it? But he said you should still be speaking it and believing it. He said it will come to pass. That means eventually you tell that mountain to go, it is eventually going to go exactly into the geological location you sent it, which was the sea. And then in verse 24 he says, therefore, in other words, that's a conjunction verse saying, based upon what I've just previously said, therefore, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it. That's present tense. You have received it. When do you have it? You have it right the moment you pray. He said, if you believe that you have received it, then you will have it. We say, well, I don't have it yet. That's right. But you believe that you have it, and then you will have it. What a lot of people want to do is they want to keep asking God over and over and over for the same thing, but that's not how God operates. That's an unrenewed mind's way of thinking. He says in Isaiah 55, he said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, my ways are higher than your ways. We need to, like Ephesians 5 says, verse 1, to be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and imitate God. And what God does is, the spirit of faith, 2 Corinthians 4:13 again, believes and it speaks. When God speaks something, it's going to come to pass. When God speaks something, He cannot violate or change His word. God's not double-minded. Before He speaks, He thinks intently about what He wants to come to pass. And when He's forever settled in His mind that this is going to be law, because God's word is law. When He's forever settled it, that this is what is going to be, then He speaks it, and then it comes to pass. He doesn't later change His mind. People change their mind. That's why it's difficult for you to understand that, because you change your mind. You say things sometimes that you don't always follow through with. You tell, I'll meet you someplace at a certain time, and then you show up late. You didn't keep your word. You say, I'm going to do this for you, I'm going to do that for you, and then you forget about it. Then you think it wasn't that big of a deal. You see, God doesn't operate on that level. When God says something, He follows through. He's a man of His word. Everyone say, a man of your word.
Man of your word.
We want to be people of our word, men of our word. We'll just say that for sake of teaching. As that's a, the world says that. You want to be a man of your word. Be a man of your word. God is a man of His word. If God says, ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full, John 16:24, then we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when we ask God for something, it will come to pass. But what happens is because we don't believe it, we don't keep speaking. A lot of people, has anybody, if anybody will be honest with me, and I'm sure every hand should go up here, has anybody ever asked God for something and then later thought it wasn't that big a deal because it didn't happen immediately when you prayed, and then it kind of drifted away from you? Maybe it was a new house, a new car, a husband or wife, this, that, and the other. It's because you weren't believing God. You say, oh, I was believing God. No. Faith believes and therefore speaks. If you were believing God, you would have said, Lord, I thank you for my new, I ask you for a house, and you tell him in detail. We have to be very specific about what you want, or you're going to get a general thing. Don't complain when somebody hands you a jalopy if you just ask for a car. Because that's about what you asked for. You ask for a car, God will give you a car. But if you ask for a brand new 2017 pickup truck, and I want it to be blue, I want it to have 20-inch wheels, four doors, four-wheel drive, I want it to have an Infinity stereo system in it, I want it to have a spray-in bed liner. I'm just giving you an example from a pickup truck. Now, I'm believing God for a minivan. I don't care about a pickup truck. Somebody give me one, I'd take it. But right now, we like to have better vans. We believe God. Well, you ask God specifically for what you need, and then you thank Him for it about 100 times a day. Why? Because you believe it. How do you know that you believe it? Because we speak. Why? Because we have the spirit of faith. Well, Pastor Dan, that seems silly to me. Well, if you don't want to have your new pickup truck with a spray-in bed liner and so on and so forth, then you don't have to practice these principles. But if you do want to have a new house, you want to have a husband or wife, you want to fulfill the call of God on your life, you want to be free from that sexual perversion that's going to send you to hell, then you're going to speak about it. So these principles don't only work on material things. I'm giving you a material example because it may be something that might be attractive to you right now where you're walking. If we believe something, we're going to speak it. If you're caught up, you have a problem with anger and you want to get set free and you believe that Jesus died so you can be set free from every oppression. Does anybody believe Jesus set you free? He says, Jesus said these words in Luke 4. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. That's prisoners in the mind, prisoners in the spirit realm, prison, every type of prison. Freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The acceptable year of the Lord, that's when everybody goes free. Free from what? Free from any oppression, anything that you would consider not being something you want to have in paradise, in the Garden of Eden, in heaven, anything you wouldn't want there. Torment in your mind, anxiety, doubt, unbelief, confusion, hatred, unforgiveness, resentment, negative feelings, anger, sexual perversions, lust, material lust, greed, all the things of the flesh. So Jesus came to set us free from all of it. If you've been set free from the sin nature, and that satanic nature has been destroyed according to Romans 6:6. He said, if we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, because anyone who's died has been freed from sin. Everyone say, I died. And I resurrected with Jesus. You died once, you can't die again. You say, I'm going to get old, die. Your physical body may die. Your spiritual body's never going to die. Well, am I going to be floating around on clouds with the harp and everything's going to be a big mist and it's going to be cloudy? No, you're going to, everything's going to be more vivid than it is now. Everything's going to be more real than it is now. This veil of flesh is hindering your perception of things. He said, we see through a veil darkly. There's one time God took me in the spirit and he showed me some things. And I seen in the distance, I seen a hill that had many trees on it. But this hill was probably about maybe a mile or two in the distance. That's a long ways to see, isn't it? But when God was talking to me and I was in the spirit, I seen and my eyes focused and I could see the details of every little intricate detail of the leaves, the pine, the little pine things on the tree. I could see those things as if they were that close. I could see every detail just as much as they were right in front of my face. I said, how can this be? When God revealed to me that this veil of flesh, you may not even have a clue just how much the curse has had an effect on every part of your anatomy, on your sense of taste, your sense of smell, your sight, all of it. I'm telling you, when you get to heaven, you're going to see and smell and hear things and know things. It's no wonder Paul said he saw things that man's not permitted to tell. What he was really saying is, look, if I told you these things, people wouldn't even believe it. He said, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that should be revealed in us. You can't even compare all the problems you have when the devil brings you to your knees because he racks your emotions so hard. It feels like he's kicking you in the motions and you want to give up. There, you can suffer like that every day of your life. The moment you walk into heaven and see the rewards you get, you won't even be able to compare to all the suffering. It's just no comparison. It's that much better. See, since we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, for what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. This is all in 2 Corinthians 4 also, verse 17 and 18, in Romans chapter 8. So, if we're struggling with sin, locate what that sin is. Sin, the wages of sin is death. We know that, Romans 6, 23. We don't want to... He said, if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. If you live according to the Spirit, you'll live. By the Spirit, you mortify the deeds of the body, you'll live. That's Romans 8, 13. He said, therefore, we have an obligation, but it's not to live according to the flesh, to live after it. See, if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you'll live. That's all he says. Romans 8, 12, 13. Well, how do we put to death the misdeeds of the body? We believe and we speak it. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He said, my words are life and my words will set you free. So speak my words through your lips. And you will be free indeed. For my word does not return void, and my word pouring through your spirit will not return void. So speak what you truly believe, but you must fill your heart with the word of faith so that you will speak the words that will set you free, says the Lord. So he's telling us that we need to first fill our hearts. It says in Romans 10, 17, the faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. What he just said there, I'll interpret the interpretation of the tongue and interpretation. He says, look, we need to fill our hearts with his words so we have faith, so we'll speak the right words. So if we're not speaking words over our situation, we don't believe. We can say we believe, but James 2:19 says, you believe in one God, good. The devil believes and trembles, but faith without deeds is dead. There's no deeds. There's no corresponding actions to prove that you believe. Now, you may believe in God. You may believe in your salvation. You may be going to heaven because you believe enough to turn from sin. But the things you're praying for, the things that you're asking, you ask God for, and then you forget about it, or you don't take it serious enough to speak words. We got to speak a lot of words. The main thing we do after we get born again and we're Christians, we do a whole lot of speaking. Anybody ever see the guy or girl that just never stops talking? I used to go to school with a girl named Katie. I am not even kidding you that all day long in class, from the time that class started to the time it stopped, she never stopped talking to me the whole entire. I even seen her years later. And this is college. This is when I was young. She never stopped talking. But when college time, I seen her later, and she walked around talking. Even when nobody was around her, she was talking and talking and talking. I thought, who is she talking to? She never stopped talking. I think that she just never stopped talking, ever. I think it was some kind of mental problem, maybe. But I don't know, but she literally never stopped talking. I'm not even exaggerating. There's people like that. I believe it's a spirit. But we have a spirit also, but it's not an evil spirit. It's a spirit of faith. And the spirit of faith believes and therefore speaks. What does it speak? It speaks what it believes. If you believe your family's saved, then you're not going to walk around going, oh man, you wouldn't believe what so-and-so did now. If you believe that your family's saved, you're going to walk around just all day long thanking God that they're saved. I'm talking hundreds of times. You got to do a lot of speaking. A lot of speaking. Christians are very passive in their faith. We need to be aggressive in our faith for it to really actually work. Jesus said, He talked about the saying three times in Mark 11:23. You got to say it a whole lot. If you believe it, you're going to say it. He said, if we have the spirit of faith, we believe and therefore speak. You keep repeating yourself, Pastor. I'm going to get this in you. I just say the same thing the whole service and you get it. I did my job. But if I change the subject and you don't do anything about this, then I didn't get over to you what God wanted. He wants you to be speaking. What should I be speaking? Well, let me give you an example. If you got a problem with anger, I would at least a minimum of 50 times a day say, I thank you, Lord, that I'm free from anger. 50 times, minimum. If you won't do that, then forget about you. I'm going to talk to you who are listening to me who are going to do this. If you don't want to do this and you want to be lazy, that's fine. You can do whatever you want. I'm talking to those of you who really actually want to be free. You will say it a minimum of 50 times. I would push it up toward 100. If you're beating your kids and slapping around, mean to them, yelling at them, you can't even be calm when they scream a little bit and it just makes you so upset and you got to spit and pop for an hour. You got emotional problems. You need to get set free. You got mental problems. Let's just call it out. There's something wrong with you. You need to get set free. Jesus can set you free. Amen? Amen. I used to have problems in my head too, son. I know that you got mental problems because I look back at myself now and I look at the way I used to be. I say, there was something was wrong with me. That guy back there, that guy that died on the cross of Jesus, I'm glad that he's dead. I don't want nothing to do with that guy. So we're going to do a whole lot of speaking. We're going to say, I'm free from, thank you, Lord. And I do it, when I speak, I don't just say, I'm free from anger, I'm free from anger, I'm free from anger. It's going to get real dry if you do that. Base your confession around an intimate relationship with God. If you do that and do it as a form of worship, you're going to find out that it feels good when you do it. The confession will always feel good, but if you keep doing that for a couple months, I'm free from anger, I'm free from anger, I'm free from anger, thank you, it's going to get real dry, you're going to get bored with it. But if you do it as a form of worship. I thank you that I'm free from anger, Lord. I thank you that I'm free from anger. I thank you that I'm free from anger. Do it as a form of worship. You're going to find that God's Holy Spirit gets real strongly involved and it's going to feel refreshing when you do it. I'm talking from experience. When I first heard about the things of faith, I just used to walk around just confessing it over and over and over. And I got so bored with it. I just felt like this is meaningless. I felt like it was empty. Something was missing. And God said, why don't you mix it with worship? And when I did, I found out that was the missing ingredients, was the thankfulness and the worship. So we ask for it once, say, Lord, first of all, you need to acknowledge that you have a problem. If you don't acknowledge you have a problem and you think you're okay, nobody in the earth can help you and God cannot help you either. As long as you think you don't have pride, but everything the pastor says you dismiss and don't actually go and act upon what he's preaching, even though God, that pastor prayed all week long, give me a message, Lord. What do you want me to speak to these people? What do they need to hear? And he tells the pastor to speak about these words, and you speak those words, and you go home, and you didn't put it into practice. You just despised God's word for your whole week. Despised it. It's treated as something unimportant. You're full of pride, right? So we want to be humble. Humility acts upon God's word. Pride hears God's word and goes home and doesn't do it. You're full of pride. Pride comes before the fall. Pride is what caused the devil to fall. Pride is what caused Adam and Eve to fall. Pride is an evil thing. Humility says, yes, sir, God, you said I believe and therefore speak. I am going to humble myself. I am going to actually start acting on your word because I don't want to be a big pride-filled Christian. Right? So humility acts on God's word. That's what humility is. Humility acts on God's word. Pride just sits around. He said that knowledge puffs up, it says in the Bible. Puffs up. If you just get full of knowledge, but don't apply that knowledge, the application of knowledge is wisdom, then you're just full of pride. Well, Pastor Dan, I'm listening to you, and my head wants to get up and throw a chair at you. I'm mad. But my heart believes you. I think you're right. So what do I do now? We say, Lord, forgive me. I'm full of pride. Can you please set me free from pride? You ask him one time, just so humbly like that, set me free from this pride, Lord. And then from that day forward, in the name of Jesus, you pray, right? Father, in the name of Jesus, please set me free from the pride. I acknowledge Pastor Dan says this. Pastor Dan says thousands of things, and I don't act on any of them, Lord. I am probably the most pride-filled person in the room. I humble myself, and I say, Lord, forgive me. Please set me free from this pride. God says, glory, glory be to God, he says. You judge right. Now that you've asked me, I want you to believe me. You don't think God will say glory to God? Who do you think inspires you to say praise be to the Lord? It's the Holy Spirit. Amen. You mean the Holy Spirit devotes worship to God? It sure does. He's your helper. So now you've asked him to get set free from pride. So now you walk around every day 50 times. Everyone say 50. Why 50 times? It's so legalistic. God is the most legalistic person in the universe. I don't think so. We're going to be free in the Spirit. We're going to be free in the Spirit. God just tells me things. I'm just going to float around and just be led by the Spirit. Okay, is it the Holy Spirit that's leading you not to witness to your neighbor? Is it the Holy Spirit that you're so free in that's influencing you to watch that filth on television? Is it the Holy Spirit that influenced you to say those swear words because you're so free in the Spirit? Is it the Holy Spirit that influenced you to beat your kids, to yell at your kids, to get angry and unforgive your family that's mean to you? Is that the Holy Spirit that you're so free in? I don't think so. The Word and the Spirit agree. Amen. God's Word is Spirit. John 6:63. Jesus said, the flesh, he said, the words that I speak to you, they are Spirit and they are life. God's Word is Spirit. And God is very legalistic, so much so that he cannot even violate his own word. If God said something, it is forever settled. He cannot even change it. Ever. He's immutable. Does not change. I am the Lord and I change not, he said. Amen. So we need to be free in the Spirit is to be lining up with the Word. That's freedom. Amen. Can you prove that with the Scriptures? Probably could. John 8:31-32 come to mind. He said this to the Jews who had believed him, he said, If you continue my word, if you continue my word, then you're my disciples indeed in the truth. He said, then you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. He said, thy word is truth, John 17. It's the word that sets us free. I'm just free in the spirit. Christians are the funniest people on the face of the earth. You know that? They come up with the most goofy solutions to their problems that don't work. When the preacher's behind the pulpit telling us what will work, if they just do that, they find out it's true. You know, I use my mom as an example. I tell my mom one time. My mom just came out of the Catholic Church. She's just freshly baby born again Christian here. I tell my mom one time to do something, even if I say, Mom, I want you to say it 50 times, and I want you to say four things 50 times, and that's 200 confessions, and you say it every single day. I don't care what. I asked her the next week, I said, did you do it? I said, she said, yeah, I did it. I said, you did it every single day? Every day you did it. I did it 7 days, I did it every single day. How many days in a row did you do it? She said, well, I haven't seen you in a week, I did it at 7 days, every single day. Just like, why? Because she accepts the kingdom like a little child. She's humble. Very, very humble. Whatever I tell her about God, I said, you do this and it'll work, she does it. But then I got other people, I tell them 100 times to do the same thing, and I ask them, did you do that? And I'll ask them if they did it about 10 different times, they still didn't do it. And I'll tell you why, it's pride. Full pride, 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 pride. We don't want to have any pride, right? So how are we going to do it? We're going to ask God to get set free from pride. Let's everybody do it now. Why should we wait another moment? We've all got different levels of pride. It's a transformation process, but we need to get rid of the big, you know. You know when they put a weld on something, this is just what comes to mind. You're going to have to forgive me for my examples. But when you put a weld on something, there's slag on the top of that. They chip that slag off of there. You know, I used to work in a steel mill, and this was with a torch, but they would take these 50-foot beams. They're about a foot by a foot, maybe. They're about 50 feet long, real long, and they would cut it with a torch, and at the end of that beam, there'd be this huge chunk of metal that had to get chipped off with a sledgehammer. You had to chunk that thing off of there. You see? We got to get the big layers off first. We got to acknowledge the pride, and the transformation process is a little adjustments that need to be made from there on out. You can understand that, right? We got to get the big chunk off. In order to do that, we got to acknowledge we got a problem. So we're going to give this as an example. Just say these words with me. Say, God. I humble myself.
I ask you to forgive me
for all of my pride.
I acknowledge
that there's certain things that I've heard
that I have not acted upon.
I'm sorry.
Help me, Lord.
To get free
from all this pride.
In Jesus' name,
I thank you for it.
It is done.
This moment.
Amen.
Do you believe that it's done?
Yes.
Okay, now if you believe that it's done, then you're going to speak. Because Jesus said it will come to pass. He didn't say every time it's going to instantly come to pass. Now there's some certain things, certain miracles that happens that way. But most of the time, the exact opposite happens. Why? Because there's a devil. Daniel chapter 10 shows the prince of Persia came to come up against Gabriel. God sent in the archangel Michael to reinforce the war in the heavenlies to get the answer over to Daniel. And then he finally did. Because he says that there's a war going on. He says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. He also said this. He said that we walk in the flesh, not war after the flesh. Same verse. And he also said this. He says in Ephesians 6:12. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So those evil spirits Just like when Daniel prayed that fought Daniel, there's evil spirits to try to fight your prayer for me answers. So what do? We release our faith. How do we do that? Well, we prayed. I'll just give you an example. We literally did it right here in the church. We prayed to get set free from pride. So now what you do is every day you say, thank you, Lord, that I'm free from pride. How many times should I say it? 50 times. Why? Because if you do it any less than that, I don't think you really want to be set free from pride. If you said you wanted to be a lawyer, but you never enrolled in college to take the necessary courses, if you looked at the courses over and said, that's too much work, I'm not going to do that, I'm just going to go out and start my own law firm, it's not going to work for you. Why? Because you're not doing what it takes to make it come to pass. See? You mean he's going to be a Christian lawyer? Sure, Zenos the lawyer in the New Testament. He's a lawyer and he's a Christian. A godly one. So that's one example. Now, if you have a problem, you can't. Every time you look, you got to lust after men. You just can't. Oh, there he walks by, Mr. Good Looking. The song gets in your head. You start having all these dreams about how fancy he is. You can't stop lusting. Jesus said it's adultery. He said this. Or if it's a woman, every woman that looks by, you got to check her out, and you got to really check her out and think what it'd be like. That's called lust. It's not okay. That's one of the works of the flesh. Amen. He said to put to death there for whatever belongs to your sinful nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, and lust are the first three things he listed. So if you got a problem in lust and you say, God, look, I've got a problem with lust. I mean, every man, every woman that walks past, I just can't control myself. That's why he said it's good to be married. He said each person should learn how to acquire a wife or control their own body. It translates in a way that is holy and honorable, but it must be a believer. Well, I'm just going to go on plenty of fish. Most of those people aren't believers. I used to work with a dirt ball who used to come up to me and brag about all the women that he'd take home every single weekend. And he said he'd meet those people on plenty of fish. Claiming some of them you meet on there. That's a Christian website, isn't it? They're all. He said he's a Christian. I don't care what people say. Christians are in church. Amen. Christians go to church. Christians read their Bible. And Christians love Jesus. And they don't live in deliberate sin. Amen. I don't care what the devil calls himself. That doesn't make him a Christian. Amen. But he's so good looking. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. That's what the Bible says. So if you got a problem with lust, and first of all, if you're even thinking you think you need a husband, you need to get yourself straight. Why do you want to make someone else miserable? Amen. If you're a worry-filled, confusion-filled, problem-filled, drama-filled person, why in the world would you want to drag someone else down with you? Why don't you take about a 5-year sabbatical and get yourself straight so you can make some man or some woman happy instead of making them miserable? Pastor Dandy, you got to tell it like it is. Yes, I got to tell it like it is. And let me tell you something. If you'll start working on yourself and you become self-sufficient in Christ and realize He's all you need, that's when God will send you the husband or wife. As long as you're running around looking for the husband or wife, you're never going to find the right person. When Michelle and I met, I was active in the church, playing bass in the worship band. I didn't even care anymore. I said, you know what, God, I'm happy with you. And all of a sudden, boom, we came together. We're married within 6 months. It all just happened real quick. Got an awesome marriage. Got a great wife. Why? Because I wasn't focused on the wife anymore. I was, like I was prior to that, I was focused on God. I had my eyes on Him. I was applying my faith, directing it towards God. So if you got to, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 5:27, He said, you've heard that it was said, do not commit adultery, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully, that could be a man too, Same principle. Anyone who looks with lust has already committed adultery with her or him in his heart. So if you say, man, Pastor Danny, say that convicts me. And you know what he said right after? They said, if your hand caused you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. If your eye caused sin, gouge it out. He said, it's better for you to enter the kingdom of heaven with one eye and one hand than with two hands, two eyes, be thrown into hell where the fire is not quenched, the worm never dies. Jesus takes that stuff seriously. It's serious business. He says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Say, Pastor Dan, I don't want to go to hell. You're scaring me. You should be afraid if you're living. You should fear God. But what you can do now is say, Lord, I acknowledge I'm a big ball of lust. I mean, everywhere, every person I see, I got to look at them. I got to check them out. I'm just all messed up. Will you please forgive me, Lord? Please help me to get set free from this lust. In Jesus' name, amen. And then from that moment forward, what we're going to do is we're going to say, I thank you, Lord, that I'm free from lust. I thank you that I'm free from lust. Count it out. My mom says she does. I've heard Brother Roberson does this when he goes through how many passes he goes through the book of Proverbs. He made an example. He takes a bag of beans, I think he said, when he goes through 10 times or something like that, he slides it over to keep count. My mom said she took some pens because I told her 50 times. I gave her 4 different confessions to speak over her marriage. And she took some pens, and every time she reached a certain number, she'd slide one over so she could keep a tally. Well, that seems too legalistic for me. Does it see, well, you want to be free? I'm telling you, this is what we do, and this works. Pastor Dan does this, all sorts of things. The other day, I woke up in the middle of the night, and my shoulder hurt me so bad for no apparent reason I could barely move the thing. What did you do? I immediately prayed. What did you do after that? I confessed about 50, 60 times a day that I was healed, and within 2 days it was gone. Why do you do that? I do that about all sorts of things. Doesn't matter what it is. Any kind of ache or pain or symptoms try to come up against my sinuses or my throat, my lungs. What do? I pray. I ask God to heal me. I break the power of the devil off my body, and then I keep confessing. If it's something like a throat or sinus, something I just dread, I hate it, I will stop immediately and I'll stop everything, even if it's in very, very inconvenient time and I've already got so much to do. I will close the door and I'll lift up my hands and I'll just for about 5 minutes thank Him that I'm healed. What happens? It goes away. What's your success ratio? Well, for lately it's been 100%. I've had symptoms come up against me so many times, the colds and stuff, and every single time I just lift up my hands and worship Him for about 5 minutes, it's gone. What used to happen? Well, I used to let the devil convince me that I had to take it, and then I'd lay in bed for a couple days. Why you do it this way now? Because I believe God. I believe and therefore speak. I made a decision that I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe Him. If you got marriage problems, so then you'd go on, if you had that lust problem, you go on and confess about 50 to 100 times a day, I thank you, Lord, that I'm free from lust. If you had anger, if you had resentment, if you had unforgiveness problems, if you had a problem with confusion, if you had a problem with anything you can think of, you should be releasing faith for healing too. I thank you, Lord, that Michelle and James are healthy. I probably say that about 100 times a day, even when I'm healthy. Why? I'm filling the storehouse. Well, that just seems stupid. It don't seem so stupid to me, because every time somebody in my house gets sick or something like that, we pray for them, they get healed instantly. Amen. Why? Because we filled the storehouse and we're just tapping, we're just pulling it on out. You got to fill up the storehouse. Amen? You're filling up your heart with faith. Well, this just seems baloney to me. Well, what's your success ratio to prayer? Let's compare them. I get all my prayers answered. How about you? It's because you're a pastor. No, it's not. It's because I believe and therefore speak. I'm telling you, you can do this. God will answer all your prayers. He told you to ask and you shall receive. Well, it just seems like too much work. If it's not that important to you, then it's a personal choice. You have a free will. You don't have to do this. But if you want to have the answered prayers that you claim that you do, then you need to do this. Well, Pastor Dan, I just can't ever make it to church on time. Don't say that. Confess it to the Lord. Say, Lord, forgive me. I have not honored your word by showing up to church on time. I'm disrespectful every week. I disrespect you, Lord. Forgive me. And then say, Lord, please help me to get to church on time. And then 50 times a day, say, thank you, Lord, that I make it to church on time. Well, I don't think it's that important. Well, then don't complain when you stand before God at the judgment. He's got a strong rebuke at you and takes away all your reward. Because that's what it's going to be. Making some of you mad at me now. Don't get mad at me. I'm just the messenger that's trying to help save you because Jesus is about ready to come. He said to anyone, he said, the man who knows his master's will and does not get ready, who does not do what he wants, to be beaten with many blows. He said, but the one that does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. He said to him who's been entrusted much, much more will be demanded. He's been given much. He's going to ask. Say, look, did you know that you should be reading your God's plan for man book and say, yeah, I know in my heart I should have. Did you do it? No. He said, well, then you're going to have a whole lot less reward. Look at it, God taking all away now. I love you. You know, the Lord, we got to talk about this now, because when I was in prayer, the Lord whispered in my spirit, I heard it. He said, you're raising up a people who pray. And at first I wanted to contend with God and think, who is it who shows up for prayer on time? Now some of you do. Because people that pray, they take their 10-pound Bible and they're like soldiers. They march on down to the church about 10 minutes early and say, they knock on the door and say, Pastor, you better open up because I got to do some praying. If you didn't, I'll just give you an example, and don't be looking around at people, but if you didn't show up to time and prayer and spend the time in prayer before the preaching, you make up all sorts of excuses why you couldn't get here. That's fine. Excuses are lies. And then you have a miserable week next week, then you can look at yourself in the mirror and say, it's because of me that I had a miserable week because I didn't make it to prayer. Because the reason God has this prayer is so we can all get here and pray in the Spirit for an hour. He can sort out all those problems so you have a good week. I'm not saying you're going to be a problem-free week. I'm just saying you're going to have a good week in the Spirit. Why? Because you sowed that field when we all come together. Because one can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000. If we all come together corporately in prayer, Jesus said, where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. Matthew 18:18-20. There's more power released through prayer. He said, can two walk together unless they be in agreement? When you get together in agreement with God and what He's trying to do in this church and get together for prayer, God is going to get together for you and work out your problems. But as long as you're putting your problems and your priorities that are not God's priorities first, then He's going to take His time working with you. That's how it works. He said, come near to God and He'll come near to you. James 4:8-10. We got to put Him first and then He's going to put you first. As long as you don't make Him a priority, He's not going to make you a priority. He's going to go find that other one who did make Him a priority and make them a priority for Him. That's how God works. Well, I don't believe that way. Well, Pastor Dan, I'm going to do it my own way. I don't believe that way. I believe this. I don't believe that way. I don't believe that it's that important to say confessions all the time. I don't believe it's that important to do this thing. Say, you just said it. You don't believe. Because if you believe, we therefore speak. 2 Corinthians 4:13. If we believe something, if you have a weight problem, you're hefty or maybe you're too skinny, you want to gain some weight. Guys like to gain weight. Women like to lose weight, whatever. Guys trying to get big muscles and gain weight, you could confess, I thank you, Lord, that I'm gaining the weight, or whatever. If you want to lose weight, say, thank you, Lord, that I'm losing weight. Amen? You know, if you walk around with the attitude that you don't look good, other people are going to think you don't look good. You carry that spirit around with you. But if you believe, you therefore speak. Amen? Everybody say, I'm good looking. Amen. I'm created in the image of God. I look like Him. So I'm good looking. Amen. Now don't be getting pride on me, no. So what are we going to do? I want you to grab every single person right now to grab a note card and a pen. And I want you to, this is a personal thing, I want you to stuff this thing in your pocket. Nobody else is going to see what's written on it. I don't want anybody looking at anybody else's card. I want you to write down certain things you need to believe God for, whether it be something you heard today or some other example, free from confusion, or you need to believe Him for a new car, or you need to believe Him for this or that or the other. You need to believe Him for your family's salvation, which is the one that I'd put on the top of the list. That's what I'd focus on, eternal things. You want to focus on temporal things, God gave you freedom to do so. He's okay with it. But it's not His best is that you seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all the things will be added to you. And the way we seek Him is through our faith. We speak words. Write down 5 things that you want to believe God for. Whether it's I want to be free from smoking. I want to be free from drinking. I want to be free from swearing. I want to be free from negativity. And I want you to confess that. I want you to call yourself free. I want to be able to walk better. If you've got problems with your body, if it's a physical ailment, if it's an emotional problem. A lot of people have emotional problems in this generation. They don't believe that they do, and that's why they walk around their whole lives suffering. You don't have to have any problems in your emotions. Write down 5 things. You can just jot it, whatever way it's going to help you to remember. And we're going to pray over it. You're going to hold it in your hand. We're going to pray over it. And then, when you go home, I want you to put that thing on your refrigerator if you live alone. If you got a roommate or something, then put it in your bedroom where they can't see it. And put it in the same spot every day. And I want you to carry that thing and put it in your pocket during the day. And 10 times a day. No, 5 times a day, I want you to pull that card out. 5 times a day, I want you to pull that card out and say each one of those things 10 times. You can say them 10 times each, or you can say, I thank you. This is an example. You can say, I thank you that I'm free from lust. I thank you that I'm free from confusion. I thank you that I'm free from anger. I thank you that I'm free from strife with my husband. I thank you that I'm free from lust. Maybe I said that twice. And then say it like that, or you could say, I thank you, Lord, that I'm free from anger. Thank you, Lord, that I'm free from anger. Thank you that I'm free from anger. Say that 10 times, and say the next one 10 times. And I want you to do that 5 times a day, 10 times each, 5 times a day. And I want you to do it every day, 7 days a week. And if you do that, listen to me. If you do that, and 2 months from now, you're not seeing a significant difference, but you have to be honest with me. I'm talking to the people in the room only. Got it? Nobody online. You don't get this blessing. If you do this, and you look at me, you people look at me, I'm going to ask you, and if you lie, you're lying to God. Okay? You know what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. Now, I don't want any of you to fall over dead, but we've got to take this seriously. God's judgment. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to ask you guys if you did it. If you're a wishy-washy person, sometimes you do it. I'm going to just discard you and put you to the side. We're going to move on to somebody who does this. But if you do this every day for 2 months, exactly like I said it, it's not that difficult. My mom does it. She's been doing it for weeks now. And she said, do you enjoy doing it? She's focused writing down more things. If you do it, it doesn't work out, you pick the restaurant you want, and I will personally, my wife and I will personally, can I do this? We'll personally take you out to dinner, but I'm going to sit there and preach to you the whole time you eat. Personally take you out to dinner to wherever you want. I don't care what it is. But I'm telling you, if you do this, I ain't going to be taking anybody out to dinner. Because I know this will work. That's how confident that I am that this is going to work. I guarantee you that if you will do this Every day it's going to work. It is an impossibility. I didn't say that everything's going to happen exactly to the fullest. I said you're going to see great progress. You will see progress. Major progress. You're going to start to feel better in those areas. You're going to start to notice a difference that you're going to have to take notice of. I'm telling you, it's going to be that significant within 2 months. But you got to do it every day. If you miss even one day, forget about it. You're not serious enough about it. You're not taking it. You don't believe and therefore speak every day. You believe and therefore speak some days. Now, a lot of times we like to try to control the situation by doing it in the natural. But what we want to do is we want to get out of God's way and do it in the spirit realm. If your family's not saved, then quit trying to preach at them because they're getting angry. Step aside and do it God's way by believing and speaking that they're saved. Right? We want to speak. If your husband or wife ain't acting right, then quit trying to argue with them and try to convince them that God said you're supposed to, the Bible says you're supposed to treat me right. Quit beating them upside the head with the Bible and believe and therefore speak. Get out of God's way. You're trying to control. Control is of the devil. Controlling is of the devil. We want to release it to God by speaking and believing. 2 Corinthians 4:13 is your scripture. That's the memory scripture. Read it from the King James Version. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. He said, we also believe and therefore speak. If you believe it, you'll speak it. Whatever you're speaking currently is what you believe. If you say, my kids aren't acting right in this, and that's what you believe. If you want your kids to act right, then you need to believe what God believes about your children, which is that they're serving God and they're saved. That's what God believes, because God calls those things to be not as though they were, Romans 4:17. He calls those things to be not as though they were. He called Abraham, his name was originally Abram, he called him Abraham, which means the father of many nations, before he ever had one child. He said, look, you're going to have so many children, they're going to be like the stars of the heavens and the sand on the seashore, they're going to be countless. So he called him Abraham. So every time someone said, hey, Abraham, they're saying, hey, you're the father of many nations. He believed and therefore speak, amen? Is this what the Spirit says? It says, there's many blessings and there's much provision that I desire and long to distribute to my children. He says, my eyes go to and fro throughout the entire earth to show myself strong towards those who believe in me. For it's those who release their faith, those who have an attitude of faith consistently, that untie my hands and loose me to move and provide those things that they long from me, says the Lord. So speak words of faith. Fill your heart with the words of faith. Fill your heart with my word and speak my word over your situations. For my word will not return void, and my word will accomplish that which I please to propose and prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and water the earth, that it might bring forth in bud to provide seed to the sower and bread for the eater, so will my word that comes forth of my mouth. It will not return void, says the Lord. And my word through your mouth will not return void, says the Lord.